And the one at Stein's Farm, up here, nearly, little remote place just below Mermaid. Second to the youngest, out of 10. Had great parents, my mum and dad were great good folk, you know, great hard working, good character. My mum was born in 1916. Oh. My dad was older. I think my dad was born in 1908. My dad had polio when he was 17, which left him crippled. But other than milking, my dad could do every job. Actually, a good milker my mother was, because my dad couldn't have milk. But he had a thrashing box, so it tended to be, my dad was out with thrashing box, so it went to my mum did oat milking. Like me, when I was born, we were all born in Middlebury, and she'd never been in hospital till she was 82, and had 10 kids, my mother. And she milked in the morning, and she had me at 11 o'clock, and she milked again at night. Well, my mother was always very proud. She'd had 10 kids, and she'd be at 10, because not many did that.
No.
There was a lot of losses, and there were a lot of folk couldn't afford to feed the kids. They had farm amount. Mm. And like all our lads, as they grew up and left, wouldn't say left school, in a way they were farmed out, they went and worked away from home and lived in.
Mm.
And my mum and dad went round and picked the places for them to go. And in a way, they were farmed out to make ways for us little ones.
Because there wasn't always space either, was there? In houses as well.
Well, there was three bedrooms. Mum and dad's with middle bedroom. And girls with far end, and with one bed. It lads with first bedroom with stairs going up and just a wardrobe really, but separated. And they two beds. And when we was all at home, all lads were in two beds. And folk used to stop. When our Anne was courting Jeff used to stop and sleep with lads. Bunk in. But because I was one at Littlands, I were lucky really, because I had two big ones either side of me, so I was always snug, you know what I mean? But me mum reared us all, and I never had a cot. We all started life in a drawer. And then you went from drawer to between two chairs, and once you could get out of that, you were big enough for bed. And that's how we did us all.
Mm-hmm.
We had happy days. And they were, you know, good parents. Good folk, really.
So what do you remember about your childhood up there?
Always happy, really. We were always... There always so much sort of going on. But everybody sort of... We were always sort of busy, but... It's good busy when you're a kid, isn't it? Mm. Stuff happening. Mm. And like... Lads would go off work and they always come home for the Sunday dinners and bought the wages. So, my mum had wages off them all and then they all had pocket money. And that's how it was when I left school at 16. My mum had me wage till I was 18 and then she gave me pocket money. And then when I was 18, it's like you pay board and lodgings then. And we're responsible for your own money. But, and our Carol bought a motorbike. He saved up and bought a motorbike. So as he could pick them all up, and he'd give them all an extra hour on a Sunday at home. But they'd come home and they'd all work, and then have a bit of dinner and go again. But they'd come home and happen to bring you a toffee or some of those little ones. So we was always pleased to see him, you know. Yeah. But other than milking, my dad could do every job, really. And like shearing, they used to drive three stakes in and tie them up. And then I'd wind, or us little ones wind, and bigger lads stick sheep to him. And sheared. And he learnt all lads shear on dead sheep. He started them very young, but they all sheared dead sheep to start with. Because anything died, they used to do with hand clippers.
keep the wool, didn't they?
Yeah, because wool was often worth more than tea then.
Then, yeah.
So all lads learned tea very young. Because when he'd had polio at 17, they said he'd never have children. So he had 10, just proven wrong. Marvellous fella, me dad, the patience of Job. If you were learning your KC laces, it didn't matter. If you're 30 goes, he keep showing you. Well, he showed me loads of stuff, half a block, even half a sharpen a penknife. But it didn't matter how long it took you to learn. He learned you. Patience of Job.
So, you left school at 16. Were your mum and dad still at Strines then?
No, we moved to Padwick then. With an electric and an indoor toilet.
This is at Low
Hill? At Low Hill, yeah.
So that was quite a turn up then, when you moved there.
Yeah, it was all very exciting. We got a bath and everything.
But kind of country. You'd moved downhill a bit, hadn't you?
Well, that was a funny thing. Of course, when we moved in, it must have been spring at year sometime. And there come this sunny day. So we all went out playing cricket in his t-shirts and his shorts. And Pickford's kids come up. And they come up and they got duffel coats on, mittens and balaclavas. We called them snow kids and went and gave them a slapping. Because we thought they were like penguins, you know. It's like, what's up with you around here? Like, sun's out. But you see, we'd be hard as nuts, wouldn't we, from upstairs? They think we were lunatics. Yeah. Up there with no clothes on. Well, I don't care what anybody says. Country's well off. When I was a kid, if you could feed your kids, put food on the table, and put clothes on the back, and I'm not talking wardrobe for or Nike trainers. When we were kids, yeah, I had a set of clothes for school. And they did it all week. Monday morning at the Belfield household, there's an old saying, it was very true at our household, first up, best dressed. Right? And you picked your clothes for the week. Poor Cliffy had to go to school in a lilac jumper for a week, because he was late up. And everybody hated the lilac jumper. So Cliffy got it. And it didn't matter if your clothes fit you or they didn't. What you picked was yours for the week. And I've seen lads go to school in shirts as they couldn't button. And us were big sloppies because we were little and didn't know what we were picking. But you picked them for a week. And that was like God had spoken. And there was no crossing God. And that was your clothes for the week. And as soon as you got home from school, that clothes come off. You had your work clothes. And they was for the week. And you was very lucky because there was kids at our school that didn't have as many clothes as us. The work clothes, and they go, well, there was one lad that we went to school with at primary school, he had shorts all the time because he'd one pair. And that was it. And he never did get washed. He did come once, he was clean, like us. You have to say, yet today, if some kiddies haven't got a mobile phone, the nails done, and their hair done every week, and a plasma TV, and Sky,
being abused.
But you're talking there, what, £150 a month? Before you start? Because they haven't got a mobile phone, that's a ten like mine.
Yeah.
This is a £400 number. And they say, but the younger folk are poorer.
Poor in spirit.
They're poor in spirit. Now, all I look back on my childhood is happiness. Christmas. That excited couldn't sleep. Same present every year. A pair of jeans and a pair of pyjamas. In a sock with an apple and orange and some monkey nuts. And we couldn't sleep. But Christmas come, Christmas Eve. Life went on. You did your things. You come in, didn't I, Christmas Eve, not knowing it was Christmas Eve, because we didn't have a mobile phone tell us what date was. And when you kids, you're too busy to even bother. We knew we'd just had fireworks, so it was somewhere on the horizon. And you come in, and Christmas had just arrived. I look back at my parents, and I think, you were absolute star characters, weren't they? Christmas appeared while he was out of the house. Everything happened. And then we'd be that excited, we'd be singing carols till 2 a.m. My mum and dad would be sat there thinking, I wish the little bugs would go to sleep. Because you get up next morning, your presents were there at the bottom of your bed.
Yeah.
They waited up. You don't get that when you're a kid, do you? Because you think Santa does.
Yeah.
And it's all right. And then they'd be that pleased for you, and they'd be absolutely knackered, and then I'd start milking. But they did it all with a smile.
Yeah.
Because it was Christmas. And we were saying about meals, like, we used to get up, and we'd have a cup of tea, and a slice of bread and butter, and then we'd get a milk. Or, depending on what age you were, as to what jobs you did. I mean, I started off the house, hopefully. And then you grow. And that's how your pride comes. Because, oh, I'm allowed to muck out now and all this. I was allowed to put the unit on this morning. I've been really good. But then, go in and have your breakfast. And there'd be porridge.
Mm.
So you'd have your porridge. And you go off to school, where you'd have a bottle of milk. Wouldn't you? Morning break. Good dinner. Oh, I think we had a glass of orange even in afternoon break or something. And then at 4 o'clock, my mother, when we got home from school, my mother thought we was hungry. So we always had like a snack. But it was cheese on toast or something. Right? 6 o'clock, we'd go milk. 7 o'clock, she'd be a roast come out, and she'd do potatoes and everything. I don't know where my mother lived, because all she did were work, as I can see now. Then there was a big family dinner for everybody. Right, so you'd either go off and play or do whatever. And we used to have to go bed at 9, earlier when we was little, but 9 o'clock. So at 10 to 9, you got shouted in, come and have your suppers! And we always had cereals. We never stopped eating.
No. But you had to keep warm up there.
But we never stopped eating, did we?
No.
But what a job for my mother to always be on tap for all these meals, milk, do all other work she did. Phenomenal.
Mm.
Yeah, when family was at Strines, our nan'd leave school at 14 and she worked at Hammersley's, which is on West Street in Leek. And the bus drivers of the day wouldn't pick her up on Cattar. They'd only pick her up and drop her off at Three Horseshoes across Blacksham Moor, which added another, what would it be, a mile and a half to a journey. A stretch anyway. And there come a big blizzard this night, and me mother says that when she'll be coming home now, and me dad says, no, she won't, she'll stopped in Leek. If she's any sense, she'll have stopped in Leek. Me mother says she won't have done, she'll have come home. And it was absolute white out, you couldn't see your hands in front of your face. So me mother rubbed herself up and says, I'm going to go look for her. And me dad says, well, I shall lose you both if you go. Anyway, me mother went outside. And she said, you couldn't see a thing. So she felt the way round the buildings. And she knew where she was when she was on buildings. And she knew then, if she went straight, she'd end up in Gully. And if she could find Gully, she'd hear water running. And she knew she could get to what we call Wayne's Big Meadow. Anyway, she went round back at buildings, roughly where she fought, and she thought, well, I'll put put me back to the wall and go straight, I should hit the goalie. Anyway, she set off and she hit the goalie. And she knew it's bottom at goalie, but run from top down. And if she climbed out at goalie, and now at fence, she was in Wayne's big pasta. So anyway, yeah, she hit the junction like at goalie and climbed up. And couldn't see it, you couldn't see a thing. But she just got it in her head and she got to go, keep going. Anyway, she walked, she didn't know how long she'd walked. And absolute fluke of nature, stroke of luck. She actually walked into our hand and fell over her, not knowing she were there. And started talking to our hand, well, our hand sort of couldn't speak at all. She was like hypothermic, really. She was just wandering in the bloody snow. She would have been made away if my mother hadn't gone. So my mother sort of grabbed hold of her and thought, well, I don't know which bloody way to go now, properly. And she thought, well, I'll go uphill. So she thought, well, as long as I go uphill, I shall hit the gully. And then when I hit the gully, if I can get down to water, I shall know which way water's running. And hopefully sort something out then. So anyway, she made her way uphill and hit fence and cobbed her hand over the fence and she cobbed over the fence and it was steep out gully, hard to get down bottom without getting hurt, I don't know. Anyway, she knew water were running down bonk, so she thought, well, we'll walk uphill and we shall either hit water coming off our gully into it and follow that, otherwise I shall end up on Lane Gate and then we can perhaps feel for the road and follow the road. She didn't have a clue where they were, so they start walking in bottom at brook like up in gully. Anyway, as luck had it, she had gully coming in, so they turned off, and once she hit top at gully, she knew if she went straight they'd walk into buildings. It's a miracle really, isn't it, when you kind of see out. And they walked into buildings and she felt the way round till she got to the house door and then they come and everybody was very surprised. And our aunt was that frozen, she getting a duffel coat on and a bell clapper and sheepskin mittens. And my mother took her coat off and coat stood up by itself, it was frozen solid. And out lads would take it mecky. So my mother got one at sheepskin mittens and thrashed them all with one mitten and it was still stiff when she thrashed them. And like, it just showed character of my mother as she wanted to look after us all.